All right, welcome in everybody to another deep dive here with Next Chapter News. You know, we love to really get into those stories, those cases that just kind of stick with you, the ones that leave you with more questions than answers. And
yeah, the ones that really just get under your skin.
Exactly. And you know, for our true crime series over at nextchapternews.com, that's kind of our bread and butter, right? These are the stories that fascinate people. And today we're going deep, really deep, into one of those mysteries.
Buckle up, everybody. This is a tough one. We're talking about the unsolved murder of Brian Mitchell in Wilson, North Carolina.
Wilson, North Carolina. You know, a place that a lot of folks might just pass on through.
But, right, yeah.
But it's a place with a lot of history, a lot of stories. And in this case, it's one that really has kind of become woven into the fabric of the community there.
Yeah, it's really interesting to see how these unsolved cases can almost take on a life of their own in these communities. They become, you know, part of the local lore, the whispered conversations, the things that people wonder about late at night.
Absolutely. So let's set the scene. It's March 25th, 2010. Picture a typical evening, you know, on Fairview Avenue Southwest. Just an ordinary residential street, right? Like you would find in so many towns across America.
Quiet, peaceful, kids maybe playing out in the yards, people coming home from work, that kind of vibe.
And then right around dusk, that time when the sun starts to set and you get those long shadows stretching across the street, gunfire. Gunfire breaks out and Brian Mitchell is shot on the 500 block of Fairview Avenue Southwest.
Just imagine that, right? The sudden shattering of the peace.
And here's the thing that's just so unsettling. Over 15 years later, as of today, March 17th, 2025, no arrests have been made. It's just one of those cases that's just lingered and lingered. And, you know, it's these unanswered questions that really draw us in.
It's almost like the lack of information itself becomes a kind of magnet. It pulls you in, makes you want to try to piece together what happened to fill in those blanks.
Absolutely. And, you know, in this case, it's the suddenness of it, the violence in a place that you wouldn't normally associate with that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then the void of details about Brian Mitchell himself.
Yeah.
It all just adds up to a real mystery.
A real head scratcher.
So let's talk about that night. What do we actually know about what happened? And it strikes me right off the bat that the information we have is incredibly sparse.
It really is. It's like trying to put together a puzzle with half the pieces missing. We have the basic outline. We know the time frame around dusk between 6 and 8 p.m. We know the general location, the 500 block of Fairview Avenue Southwest. And we know the tragic outcome, that Brian Mitchell was fatally shot. But when you try to get beyond those basics, it's like hitting a brick wall.
Yeah. Was he walking home? Was he standing outside talking to somebody? Did this come completely out of the blue? I mean, was he caught off guard? We just don't know. And one of the most frustrating things is that we don't even know for sure if he was on foot or if he was standing still or if he was maybe trying to run away. And then, of course, the biggest question of all, did he know his attacker? Was this targeted? Was it random? We just don't have any solid clues.
And that's what makes these cases so difficult, right? When you have so many unknowns, it's hard to even begin to formulate a theory, to know where to start looking for answers.
Okay, so what we do know is that the police responded to a call of shots fired. Brian was taken to Wilson Medical Center by friends, which is interesting in itself because it suggests that he wasn't alone, mm-hmm. that there were people who cared about him and were there to help.
Right. That detail about his friends taking him to the hospital really stands out. It suggests a level of closeness, a bond that goes beyond just casual acquaintances. And yet, even with that piece of information, we still don't know if they actually saw what happened, if they witnessed the shooting, if they have any information about who might have been involved.
So we have this basic sequence of events. But as you said, the why and the how, those are still completely shrouded in mystery.
It's like a story with the beginning and the end, but the middle is completely missing.
Exactly. And you know, the fact that there's no official timeline, no public statements for witnesses, it just adds to this sense of ambiguity. It's like a black hole of information.
And in a case like this, any little detail could be crucial, right? It could be the missing piece that helps to crack the case wide open. But without those details, we're left to speculate, to wonder what really happened that night.
Okay, so let's talk about Brian Mitchell himself. He's described the research as almost a ghost in public records. Like, he barely even existed before this event.
Yeah, it's strange, right? You would think that in this day and age, with all the digital footprints we leave behind, it would be almost impossible for someone to just disappear like that. But with Brian, there's very little to go on. We don't know his age, what he did for a living, if he had a family. It's like his life story begins and ends with this one tragic event.
And it's even weirder when you consider that he had friends who were close enough to take him to the hospital. Clearly, he had connections, relationships, a life outside of this one incident. So why is there this wall of silence around him?
That's the million-dollar question. And honestly, I don't have a good answer. It could be a lot of things. Maybe his friends and family are choosing to grieve privately, which is completely understandable.
Yeah.
Maybe they're afraid to speak out, or maybe they just don't have any answers themselves. But whatever the reason, this lack of information about Brian makes it even harder to understand what happened to him. It's like we're trying to solve a puzzle without even knowing what the picture is supposed to look like.
Now, Wilson, North Carolina, it's not some huge city where people can just blend into the background. Our research indicates that it's a place with deep roots, you know, going all the way back to its tobacco heritage, a place where people tend to know each other, a place where word travels fast.
Yeah.
So how is it that someone like Brian could just slip through the cracks like this?
Right. You would think that in a community like that, someone would have come forward with some information about Brian, some memories, some stories, but it's been crickets. And that just adds another layer to the mystery. It makes you wonder if there's something more going on here, something that people are hesitant to talk about.
Let's give our listeners a little bit of context about crime in North Carolina around that time, 2010. Our research indicates that the homicide rate for the state was about 5.8 per 100,000 people.
Which tells us that while homicide was definitely a problem, it wasn't like it was happening every day on every street corner. It was still a relatively rare occurrence. And in Wilson itself, Brian's death was one of only three homicides that year. So you can imagine the impact that kind of violence would have on a community of that size. It would be a huge deal, something that people would talk about for years to come.
In this particular area, Fairview Avenue Southwest, it's described as a working-class neighborhood, pretty close to Nash Street and some industrial areas. It wasn't exactly known for being a high crime area.
Right. It wasn't like this was happening in a part of town where people were used to hearing gunshots or seeing police cars racing around. This was a quiet residential street where people felt safe letting their kids play outside. So you can imagine how shocking this must have been for the people who live there.
So when the police arrived at the scene, what would they have been looking for? What would their priorities have been?
Well, I imagine it would have been chaotic at first. You know, lots of activity, people coming and going. But once they secured the area, their main focus would have been on collecting evidence. That would include things like shell casings, any blood stains, maybe even tire tracks if there was a vehicle involved. And of course, they would have been looking for witnesses, anyone who saw or heard anything that could help them piece together what happened.
And it seems like the lack of witnesses coming forward has been a major obstacle in this case.
Yeah, big time. It's pretty common in these kinds of cases for people to be reluctant to talk to the police. Maybe they're afraid of getting involved, or maybe they just don't trust law enforcement. But whatever the reason, that silence can make it really hard to solve a crime. It's like trying to build a house without any bricks. You just can't do it.
We do know that Brian's friends were questioned, but they were quickly ruled out as suspects, probably because they were the ones who drove him to the hospital.
Yeah, that makes sense. If they were involved in the shooting, it's highly unlikely that they would have tried to get him medical help. But even though they weren't suspects, that doesn't mean they had all the answers. Maybe they didn't see anything, or maybe they saw something, but they're afraid to talk about it.
And the fact that no arrests have been made after all this time really points to just how difficult this case has been for investigators.
Yeah, it's a tough one. I mean, we're talking about 15 years here. That's a long time for a case to go cold. And it suggests that the police just haven't been able to find that one piece of evidence, that one witness that could break the case open.
Now, 2010, that wasn't that long ago, but in terms of forensic technology, things have come a long way since then. DNA analysis was certainly available back then, but it wasn't as advanced as it is today.
Right. And smaller police departments like the one in Wilson might not have had the same resources as bigger agencies when it came to things like DNA testing. So they probably relied more on traditional investigative methods like eyewitness accounts and good old-fashioned detective work.
And even though they may have collected some physical evidence at the scene, there's been no mention of any matches being found that could lead them to a suspect.
Right, which suggests that either the evidence they collected wasn't useful, or maybe they just haven't been able to connect it to anyone yet. But with advances in DNA technology, there's always a chance that they could revisit that evidence and find something new.
Now, the Wilson Police Department has been pretty tight-lipped about the details of this case, which, you know, is understandable. They don't want to jeopardize the investigation. But at the same time, you have to wonder if keeping things so close to the vest might actually be hurting their chances of solving it.
Yeah, it's a tough call. On the one hand, you want to protect the integrity of the investigation, but on the other hand, you also want to keep the public informed and engaged. Sometimes a fresh pair of eyes or a new piece of information from the community can be all it takes to break a case wide open.
And it's worth noting that Brian's case isn't the only unsolved murder in Wilson. The police department has an entire webpage dedicated to cold cases, and it's a pretty sobering list.
Yeah, it's a reminder that these unsolved cases represent real people, real families who are still waiting for answers. And it's also a testament to the dedication of law enforcement who continue to work these cases even after all these years.
And the good news is that with advances in technology, there's always hope that even the coldest of cases can be solved. Things like ballistics testing have become more precise, and genetic genealogy has emerged as a powerful new tool for identifying suspects.
Absolutely. Genetic genealogy is really a game changer. It allows investigators to use DNA from crime scenes to search for potential relatives of the suspect in public databases. And it's been incredibly successful in solving some really high-profile cold cases in recent years.
And if you're listening to this and you have any information about Brian Mitchell's case, no matter how small or insignificant it might seem, please reach out to the Wilson Police Department. Their criminal investigations division number is 252-399-2323.
You never know, that one little detail you have could be the missing piece of the puzzle.
So with all that said, let's talk about some of the theories surrounding this case. And I have to say, with so little to go on, it's almost impossible to separate fact from fiction. But our research does point to a few possible scenarios.
Yeah, and it's important to emphasize that these are just theories, nothing more. We don't have enough information to say for sure what happened, but let's explore some of the possibilities.
One theory is that this was a targeted killing.
Yeah.
Maybe Brian was involved in something, some kind of dispute, or had enemies that we don't know about.
Right. It's possible that there's a whole backstory here that we're not privy to.
Okay.
Maybe he was involved in some shady business dealings, or maybe he had a personal conflict with someone that escalated to violence. But without more information, it's impossible to say for sure.
The fact that his friends were nearby also raises the possibility that this was some kind of group encounter that went horribly wrong. Maybe there was an argument, a fight, and things spiraled out of control.
Yeah, that's definitely a possibility, especially if alcohol or drugs were involved. Sometimes things can escalate very quickly in those situations, and people can do things that they wouldn't normally do.
Another theory that's been floated is that this was a robbery gone wrong. But there's no indication that anything was stolen from Brian.
Right, and that's the problem with that theory. If it was a robbery, you would expect the perpetrator to have taken something. So either this was a really incompetent robber, or there's something else going on here.
And then there's the possibility that this was just a random act of violence. Maybe Brian was in the wrong place at the wrong time, and he encountered someone who was looking for trouble.
Yeah, that's always a possibility, especially in a place like Fairview Avenue, which is close to some busier roads. It's possible that someone from outside the neighborhood came in, committed the crime, and then disappeared.
One thing that really strikes me about this case is just the boldness of it. I mean, to shoot someone in broad daylight in a residential neighborhood with no apparent witnesses coming forward, that takes a certain level of audacity.
It does, and it makes you wonder if the perpetrator knew something. Or maybe they thought they could get away with it because of the lack of information about Brian. It's almost like they were counting on the fact that no one would care enough to speak up.
And it's not just Brian's case. Our research shows that there are other unsolved murders in Wilson. Cases like Danny Snow and Bessie Vinson, where the same lack of information has hampered investigations.
Yeah, it's a sad reality in a lot of communities. Sometimes these cases just go cold, and the families are left without answers. And it's not for lack of trying on the part of law enforcement. It's just that sometimes the evidence isn't there, or the witnesses are too afraid to come forward.
And we can't forget about the impact that these unsolved crimes have on the families and friends of the victims. Even though we haven't heard from them publicly, you know, they're still dealing with the pain and the grief of losing Brian. And that pain is only amplified by the fact that they don't know who did it or why.
Absolutely. These cases don't just affect the immediate victims. They ripple outward, touching the lives of everyone who knew and loved the person who was killed. And the lack of closure can be incredibly difficult to deal with. It's like a wound that never fully heals.
Fairview Avenue Southwest, it might seem like just an ordinary street to most people, but for those who knew Brian or who lived there back in 2010, it's a place forever marked by tragedy. It's a constant reminder of a life lost too soon and a mystery that remains unsolved.
It's like a scar on the landscape, a place where something terrible happened and the memory of it lingers on.
So here we are, all these years later, and the murder of Brian Mitchell is still a compelling yet frustratingly silent true crime story.
It really is. It's a case that's full of unanswered questions, dead ends, and whispers in the dark. And it's a case that deserves to be solved.
The big questions remain. Who killed Brian Mitchell and why? Was it an act of rage, a crime of opportunity, or something else entirely? We just don't know.
And until we get those answers, the case will remain open. The Wilson Police Department hasn't given up, and neither should we.
And as of today, March 17th, 2025, Brian Mitchell's case is still listed on the Wilson Police Department's Unsolved Crimes page. A stark reminder that this case and others like it are still waiting for a resolution.
It's a reminder that these victims haven't been forgotten and that the search for justice continues.
And if there's one thing we've learned from covering these true crime stories for Next Chapter News, it's that sometimes all it takes is one person, one piece of information to change everything.
That's right. So if you know anything about Brian Mitchell's case, please don't hesitate to contact the Wilson Police Department.
So to wrap things up, we've taken a deep dive into the unsolved murder of Brian Mitchell, a case that's full of twists, turns, and dead ends. But even after all these years, there's still hope that the truth will come out and that justice will be served.
And until then, Brian Mitchell's story serves as a reminder that even in the quietest of neighborhoods, darkness can lurk, and that the search for answers can be long and arduous.
For those of you listening who want to delve deeper into this case and others like it, you can find more information at our website, nextchapternews.com. We regularly update our true crime series with new investigations, analysis, and calls for justice.
Because every case deserves a resolution, and every victim deserves a voice.
And we won't stop searching until those voices are heard. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive, and we'll see you next time.
Until then, stay curious and stay safe.
Good night, everyone.